Welcome to the Paul Wharton Show on SiriusXM Channel 141, featuring celebrities, fashion, lifestyle, beauty, and hot topics.
I'd like to welcome to the show the one, the only, the fabulous Miss Vivica A. Fox.
There's a good old saying, early bird catches the worm, yeah, right? And that check.
I'm Michael Eric Dyson here.
My sidekick, my homeboy, Mr. Darnell Perkins.
Hi, handsome. How are you, my love?
Hey, it's Vanessa Williams. Tune in to my dear friend's show, Paul Wharton, only on SiriusXM Channel 141.
Hi, everybody. It's Jennifer Lewis. Yes, the mother of Black Hollywood. And I want you all to listen to the Paul Wharton Show on SiriusXM Channel 1.
Four, one. Hey, beautiful people, and welcome to the Paul Wharton Show on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Paul Wharton, and we are so happy to be coming to you from the fabulous Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, D.C., where the wonderful, talented, and amazing Alexia is still holding me down in the production booth. Hey, girl.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Pretty good. Good to see you.
You're not kissing on any strangers out there, are you?
No. None of that. None of that.
I'm not concerned about you, but I am concerned about this next gentleman sitting next to me. The one and only, my fabulous friend, Mr. Darnell Perkins. Darnell?
Yes, lovely.
How are you feeling?
I feel fantastic. And how about you?
Your temperature's okay,
my
sweetie?
My temperature is fine, darling.
I know you like the kindness and warmth of strangers. It's the corona season, sweetie. Don't look at me like that. Anyway, so I have been spending so much time with Darnell. We're going to get right into it. We had the pleasure of going to the Intreet Village Gala last night
in
D.C.
Oh, my God. It was amazing.
Was that your first time?
That was not my first time, but I always enjoy it every time I get the opportunity to go.
I know. It's going to be so great talking about that today. I want to shout out my team because we had the opportunity to work with Intreet Village yesterday. Janelle did the makeup and Kelly Simmons on my team. She did the hair. We did the glam for two of the honorees yesterday. And if you're not familiar with Intreet Village, so Intreet Village empowers homeless and low-income women in Washington, D.C., to claim their highest quality of life by offering a broad spectrum of services, housing, and advocacy in an atmosphere of dignity and respect. They help women achieve stability and make meaningful gains in their housing, income, employment, mental health, physical health, and addiction recovery.
Wow, they do a lot for this.
They do a lot.
That is awesome.
Total wraparound services. So I have a fabulous friend that's here today. Her name is Erica Martin Bolden, because last night her husband, a friend of mine, A. Scott Bolden, said, her name is Erica Bolden. And don't you forget it, because she goes by Erica Martin. But she is a board member at Intreet Village, and she also co-chaired last night's gala. And Erica, hats off to you, homegirl. You
yes,
really did a
yes,
wonderful
that's
job.
That's my girl. Great job, yay. Erica.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for all you did to prepare for it, and thank you for coming last night.
It was amazing. Amazing. And you look beautiful. I love the t-shirt.
Thank you.
Oh, everybody's talking about it.
The power t-shirt. Power. Loved it. Loved it.
Allison,
loved it.
Olivia?
Yes.
Yes. Everyone's talking about your outfit today. They were like messaging me. She has that t-shirt. I didn't even know it was out yet.
Yes, I have it. I'm in the know. You don't know that I'm in the know.
Right. So that was definitely fashion with a purpose, but the purpose was so much greater than what we were wearing. You first brought me into the Intreet Village orb a few years ago.
We call it a family.
The family. Thank you for bringing me into the family. Tell me what brought you into Intreet Village.
It was actually my coach here invited me down to do snack packing. We support our day service center with snacks where the women can come in. They can get one in the morning and they get one when they leave in the afternoon. That may easily be the last meal that they've had. Excuse me. And I went and I never left. You know, like we always tell people, once you're in the family, you're in for good, because it's just the work they do in this city. We serve nearly 2,000 women a year at the center. We've got 5 locations across the city, everywhere from emergency shelter to permanent and supportive housing to day centers. And we really try with dignity to meet the women where they are when they come to us. We ask them what they need, not what we think they need. What do they need from us? And we try to serve them from there. So when you're doing something like that, you just want to be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
So a few years ago, I had the opportunity, I was working over at one of the local TV stations, and we did something that I created called Midweek Makeovers. And the women at In Street Village that were had gone through the services and they felt really supported and ready to get back out into the workforce. I worked with them on kind of cultivating their look and pulling together their clothes. I think we worked with Dress for Success for the suits. And that was a very meaningful experience for me. And I got to see that the women felt extremely supported with the services. So the village at In Street, the village, the staff that was referred to a lot by the your chief executive officer, Schroeder, she talked a lot about the staff and the village. Tell us a little bit about the people there that are supporting these women and getting them in a place where they want to get back out into society.
It's really interesting that a lot of the women that are there supporting the women that are currently involved in our programs, they were once clients of N Street.
Wow.
So you have a lot of people that they know what N Street has done for them, and they want to make sure that they hang around and give it back to somebody else. And the staff is just incredible. I mean, the work we do, as I said, is just, it's tiring, it's rewarding, it's, you're happy, you're sad, I mean, all of that wrapped into one. And we've just got a village of staff members, volunteers, that really would give their left arm for these ladies to see them succeed. And we were able to celebrate Jewel, Nataki, and Sharon, who are clients that are in our program. We celebrated them last night. And that's one of the things that I love about what we do. It is about the women. Everything we do, we have the women on. They're first and foremost for us. So it was fun to be able to celebrate them. And they told their powerful stories.
Awesome.
You know, part of this healing and recovery for them is being able to speak their story, because that's your truth. So It was amazing.
So In Street Village relies on the collective contributions of time, talent, and treasure from their supporters. And they've on their website, you can find different ways that you can support by making a gift, by volunteering, donating goods. Do you want to talk a little bit about how people can get involved? I think you have a great website for that, but just
share
a little
bit.
Yeah,
we do. And the website is nstreetvillage.org. First and foremost, I would come take a tour. You know, once you see the, we've just finished a $1 million renovation. One of the biggest changes that happened was we have one entrance now. We used to have an entrance for people come to visit, an entrance for the ladies to go to the day center. And really, you know, when you're a guest of N Street, whether you're coming to use our services or coming to do a tour, we want everybody to feel the same. So we want them all to have that warm welcome. So with that renovation, that happened. But I would start at a tour. You'll see, we can talk to you about more ways to get involved. Of course, we always, you know, funding is to fund all these programs. We do need donations, so that you can go to nstreetvillage.org and donate there. And then we have tons of committees, whether you're a recently out of college, we have that type of donation committee for you. Whether you're a housewife, whatever it is you want to do, if you have a treasure, a talent, we welcome all of that.
Fantastic. So as we know, In Street Village serves women 18 years and over. You talked a little bit about the day center. I see that you offer daily meals, showers, laundry services, clothing, and other wellness activities. But then you also have the housing facility. How is that different?
So we have five locations, as I stated. The one you're talking about where the day center is located is our flagship location, and that's right at 1333 N Street. And within that, the women can come for the day, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. After 4, the day center closes, and they'll proceed to wherever they're, whether it's a resident there or if they're in one of the emergency shelters, they'll get a shelter bus back to there. But we also include affordable housing for families. So we have 44 units of permanent supportive housing, 12 units of recovery housing, and 9 units of mental health-focused housing. And those are all housed upon the top 5 floors of the building. We also have a Patricia Handy Place for Women, which is our downtown emergency night shelter with 213 beds. And it also includes temporary senior and medical respite housing. So one of the things that we're seeing is our residents are becoming older and older, so they're needing more of the senior type care provided for them. And we do that at Patricia Handy. We have Miriam's House, 25 rooms of supportive housing for women living with HIV. And we have Irma's House, 30 efficiencies and one-bedroom apartments for the most vulnerable women in the city. So we really cover the gamut in terms of the support or the type of support that you can get, be it a meal, a room, a bed. We really do run the gamut on that across the city.
That's fabulous. So if you're wondering how you can help and what your gift can really do, let me give you an example. So a gift of $37 at In Street Village can provide 30 nutritious meals. A gift of $72 can provide 3 welcome kits with essentials like socks, travel-sized toiletries, and so much more. If you want to go up to $100, we really would appreciate that, and that can provide housing and services for 1 week for one woman living in permanent supportive housing. And if you're blessed enough to be able to help with a gift of $500, that can provide housing and supportive services for 2 weeks for one woman, as you said, living with HIV at Miriam's House. Erica, I just think that you are all that.
Thank you, darling.
I'm so happy that I am your friend. And, you know, people talked a lot about your outfit, and she's real cute, y'all. Y'all got to look her up. Erica Martin Bolden. She is just so cute. You used to call her the Halle Berry of D.C. But I love when my friends can be cute and fabulous and all that, but you're really rallying your friends and people that are able to support, and you're getting out in the community, and you're helping so many women. So thank you for the work that you're doing at In Street Village. I think a lot of people might have seen years ago when Oprah came to your luncheon. How exciting was that?
Yes. Oh,
and she gave the $1 million donation.
Incredible.
And were you there?
I was there. And I've done, you know, the village has done right by the money that she's donated. And if you, and again, I just encourage your listeners, please, please, please come visit. Ask for me, call the village, and we'll get a tour set up for you. Very easy to do, but it'll be probably the most moving 30 to 60 minutes of your life.
Wow. I do have to say one thing to Erica. Years ago, everyone knows that I had a bar called Darnell's, and Erica, right in the beginning of me opening, mind you, it was so mom and pop, and it was basically, I would go get ice, I would run out of Coke, I would have to do this and do that, and Erica would just come and bring her friends and just always, you're just very supportive, and I've always appreciated that. Even when I was just like running crazy and like, oh my God, what in the hell am I doing? You were always there for me, and I think that's just in your nature, just to help people and to be there for people. And I guarantee you, I mean, you're already obviously blessed, but God will continue to bless you and bless your seed and just bless your life, because that's just who you are. You're just a very, very giving person. And from one friend to the other, I just want to tell you that I truly appreciate you so much. And I will come over to... So are men allowed to come and volunteer?
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome.
Absolutely.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome. So I would definitely do my part and come over. I'll do something different since Paul is doing the glam. I'll come over and bring flowers or cook a meal or something, or help in the kitchen.
We would love that. And there is an opportunity for corporate donors as well to get involved, or for corporate teams to come over and serve. And that's a great way for people that aren't in family and things like that to really build their teams and come over and support us and get some community service hours in.
Yes.
And that kind of thing. So if you're a corporation and you're listening, you can bring your whole team and make a meal, spend some time with the ladies. That's really the most rewarding part.
Absolutely.
And thank you for those kind words, my friend.
Well, I love you so much. You know I do.
Let's get that next bar open.
I know, right?
I need a new place to go.
That's what we need. So I'll end this part by just sharing some words from Schroeder Stribling, your chief executive officer. And she says, every day at least one woman comes to In Street Village for the first time. And I know that. But for a few circumstances of fortune and timing, she could be me. So I think she summed that up very nicely. So if you want to help, check out instreetvillage.org. And if you want to visit, definitely ask for my friend Erica Martin there. And Erica, thank you so much for coming on. And we're going to send all these good wishes and support your way.
Thank you for having me.
Keep throwing good parties for a purpose.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, and we'll see you at the bar after.
Yeah. Bye, y'all.
Okay, bye, Erica.
Bye, darling.
So... Corona got you crazy, Darnell. No, how has this changed your life?
No, darling, it wasn't Corona that got me crazy today. I had someone move some furniture for me, and he literally was dragging a leather sofa by Mitchell Gold, and he...
Oh, my gosh.
And he basically...
You should have led with that. I would have gasped first.
No, I immediately went outside, and he basically was like, oh, that's nothing. You know, all you got to do is polish it up with a little furniture polish. I said, leave it. I just told him just to leave it. I had no one else to move it. I went to some neighbor's houses, asked them, can they help me actually move this sofa? So, you know, that old saying, good help is just so, so hard to find.
It really is.
No, I mean, it just happened like an hour ago.
So is this the esteemed estate sale that you're talking about?
This was for a client, and I was mortified. It was hard. Can you imagine someone just basically just dragging a sofa on cement, sofa? But it just goes to show you, people, you know, people just, I don't know if they just don't know any better, or, and it was not even because it was an expensive leather sofa. It's just the point of, you don't drag a sofa. I don't care if it came from wherever, you know, cheaper places you can go.
Well, it's really interesting that I asked you about coronavirus that we ended up talking
about.
That was on my mind.
That was it just happened.
I'm talking about my sofa.
Well, you know, it's so sad about the coronavirus. No, let me tell you
something. The World Health Organization just declared the novel coronavirus outbreak to be a pandemic. So the novel coronavirus outbreak is the first pandemic caused by a coronavirus. WHO Director General said on Wednesday. Describing the situation as a pandemic does not change WHO's assessment of the threat posed by this coronavirus. It doesn't change what WHO is doing. And it doesn't change what countries should do. Okay? So essentially, it's a big, big problem. A lot of people are wondering what you can do. And the first thing that we're seeing, of course, is the most obvious piece, which is what?
Wash your hands. Yeah.
Wash your hands. Yeah. Regularly and thoroughly clean your hands with an alcohol-based hand rub or wash them with soap and warm water. A few other things that it's really interesting that people are talking about a lot now is the social distancing.
Yes.
And, you know, you and I were out the other day and it was really interesting. Well, first I'll say that people are saying to maintain at least 3 feet distance between yourself and anyone who's coughing or sneezing. Of course, I mean, 3 feet. If you cough within my vicinity, I'm out.
Yeah.
No, yeah. There is no coughing going on in the thing. So it says, well, why would you do that? Well, when someone coughs or sneezes, they spray small liquid droplets from their nose or mouth, which may contain the virus. If you are too close, you can breathe in the droplets, including the coronavirus, if the person coughing has the disease. So you're also being warned to avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. And why? So hands touch many surfaces and can pick up viruses. And once your hands are contaminated, your hands can transfer the virus to your eyes, your nose, or your mouth. So from there, the virus can enter your body and can make you sick. All of that is going on. We were out the other day, you and I.
Yeah.
We were out at the Joe's Stone Crab restaurant at the bar.
Yes.
And a long-term friend of yours, the young lady...
Yeah. So, yeah. And, but, you know, it's so crazy because I thought about that. And then I rethought about it. I thought the first thought was she came over, she shook hands or whatever. And you did not shake her hand.
Right.
And then but quickly I thought about it. I was like, you know what? People really are not shaking hands now. So it's almost like you have to rethink. You have to rethink your normal, like, because, you know, we're huggers. We're always around people and shaking hands. But now people are giving each other the fist or giving each other the elbow. And I understand because I was reading on CNN's website where they said that the coronavirus, it has affected over 115,000 people worldwide.
Yeah.
And so that's really a lot of people and killed over 4,200 people. So it's not... I believe it's something that we really just cannot take lightly.
And let me tell you something. We really don't know what the numbers are in the United States of America. And I'm going to tell you why we don't know the numbers. Because for one, we have a president who's obsessed with keeping the numbers low. He doesn't want to report when people have the actual virus. For one thing, there aren't enough test kits even available.
Really?
I have a friend, a very close friend, that just spent 2 weeks in Italy. Everywhere he went within Italy, as soon as he got off the plane within Italy, they took his temperature. They had everybody lined up in rows of five. They would take their temperature. They'd ask them where they came from. And they basically knew, okay, you're okay. Because one of the first signs of coronavirus is an elevated temperature.
Really?
So they took the temperature. When this man came back, which is just a couple days ago, from Italy, Italy that's on complete and total lockdown.
Lockdown, yeah. I hear it's a ghost town in Italy.
Complete and total lockdown. He comes back. He arrives in New York City at JFK Airport. And the you know, the agent says, well, where are you coming from? And he says, Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, okay, welcome back. There's no temperature test. There's no pamphlet on this is what you should or should not be doing.
Wow.
You should be going to the doctor to follow up. So, you know, all of this, see, this is what happens when you have a leaderless country. Or a country that's led by a complete narcissist who's obsessed with, you know, the numbers, keeping the numbers low. It's not my fault. He's up there talking about it's not his fault. Nobody said it was your fault, but it is your responsibility.
Absolutely.
To lead this country through this now pandemic. So you have people coming back from Italy into the country. No one's taking their temperature. No one's asking where they have been. Have you been exposed? Are you feeling well? Maybe we suggest you going to a doctor. You're going to look out for these symptoms.
Yeah,
none of that's going on.
None of it's going on. And the other thing is, especially, well, you know, I was going to say especially international travel. But like you said, we really don't know the numbers that are here because it's not really.
Well, this was international travel. This is somebody coming back from Italy into the United States.
No, I get that. But what I'm saying is we, like you said, in Italy, they are doing all of what they need to do to actually make sure that, you know, let's take your temperature. You know, let's just do this to make sure that, you know, we're actually trying to do something because it is something that, because the coronavirus is definitely going on and so many people have been affected. But none of that is going on here in the U.S. only because they're making it, well, the administration is definitely making it seem like it's really not a big deal when it really is a big deal. And I know it's a big deal because, you know, I was going to meet you in London for Vanessa's opening.
Yeah, the opening of City of Angels.
And you know, and we both have canceled, you know, and I was scheduled to be in Italy during the month of, I don't know, do you think it's too early to cancel a trip in June?
No, I think.
You think it's going to be over?
I don't think so.
Because I hear that the flights are really, really, really cheap, but God knows who really wants to, who wants to take.
I mean, I'm concerned about the, because I have friends in Italy, as you do as well. I mean, just the people of Italy, just concern and compassion because their tourism, that keeps that country alive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. The only thing we can really do, like you said, is do our part. Wash our hands and really, really. But what is this thing about all of people just guarded with all of this? Their whole head is covered. Their whole body is covered in plastic.
Have you seen Naomi Campbell?
I did. But from my understanding, she's always done that. Like when she got on airplanes, she will always take her wipes and take her own blanket. Like this is not really new for her.
Well, she would wipe it down for sure. But I'm showing Darnell a picture right now of Naomi leaving the airport, and she's completely
covered in a hazmat suit
with goggles on.
Oh, wait a minute.
Goggles,
you know what's crazy?
What?
I tell you, these folk who are really, really these designers in fashion, do you know Louis Vuitton and Christian Dior? Do you know they made these expensive face masks, like the ones you get from the doctor and when the nurses or whatever walking around. Mm-hmm. So now you can buy, if you're really one of these people, like, I still want to be fashionable in my little Corona outfit.
Yeah.
Well, the fashion industry have made these
Corona couture.
Really? God. We always make a joke, guys. You got to turn lemons into lemonade.
Yeah, you really do.
You really do. But they have really, they have really, look at, they have these little Louis Vuitton face masks.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about that because I've been canceling all my flights, but And I was supposed to be in New York this week and in London next week, but I've canceled everything. But I was thinking when I do get back on a plane, I just don't see myself as the kind of person that wants to wear a mask the whole time I'm flying. I don't know.
I don't think I would do it either.
Would you do the mask?
No.
Well, for one thing, people are saying, and healthcare professionals are saying, that the mask really doesn't do any good if you're not sick, which I can't quite wrap my head around. Have you heard this before? The mask is only good if you are
if you're a the carrier person that's sick, yes.
And you don't want to, you know, spittle on other people and you know, potentially make them sick. So I'm not exactly sure how that works, but I tell you, I was in a slightly judgmental mode earlier, and I'm going to tell you why I don't like to be judgmental at all, but I jumped the gun a little bit. You know, Wendy Williams has just been kind of getting on my nerves a little bit. You know, she's just kind of on everybody.
She's always been like that. I don't know why just now she's getting on your nerves. She's been getting on my nerves.
But I thought the fact that she's gone through so much,
sweetie,
she would have chilled out.
Hurt people. Okay. They're into that. That's what they do. But what does she do? What does she do now?
I heard that, I saw it on her Instagram this morning that, that she was banning her studio audience, you know, so she was going to do her show, you know, her studio audience is her co-host.
Yeah.
That's what she calls them. So she decided to do her show without a studio audience. But so first I was like, she is so extra. My God. I mean, how's she going to do her show without any audience? But now all the talk shows in New York are doing it. So, in terms of ABC, I'm told that the network has already banned its stars, including Robin Roberts and Michael Strahan, from taking selfies with the crowd, while its New York City studio has been littered with hand sanitizer stations and signs are up telling visitors to take precautions. It's unclear if ABC's late night show Jimmy Kimmel Live, which tapes in LA, will follow suit, because this is more of a New York thing at the moment. I haven't really heard I've heard of a case or two in LA. I mean, I'm sure it's going to get everywhere. And I'm not even sure if this is something that we all have to get. I'm going to reach out to my friend Tamron, because on Tuesday evening, the Tamron Hall Show and the Wendy Williams Show announced they'd be taping without an audience. But the audience is such an important part of these shows.
Yeah, it really is. But you know what? San Francisco, actually, they banned large group gatherings. And from my understanding, Washington state governor prohibits large events in three countries. So, and even there's a congressman suggested that the Capitol should be closed down due to the outbreak. So you know, people, like I said, this is something that we really just can't take lightly, because they are really shutting down like really huge moneymaker events that actually would bring a lot of money to these cities. Mm-hmm. So like I said, but you know, when we were talking before we came on air, you know, we got to be cautious, but we really have to kind of not. We still have to live. And it's hard.
I'm telling my mom that.
Yeah, we still have to live, because we've gone through this road before. You remember the Ebola? What was that?
Ebola.
Ebola. And
gosh, of course, I started to watch that movie Outbreak last night.
No,
remember that?
This is not the time to be watching Outbreak.
I got 6 minutes in and I said, whoop. No.
I won't be watching that.
It's ranked number 9 in all of Netflix. So everybody's watching that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's only adding to the confusion and the angst of it all.
When do you really, I guess we would never know, but how long do you think this is going to be going on? Because it's really changing the whole, just the way people, it's changing a lot, just the way people even greet people, or even, I did watch Wendy Williams earlier this morning when she came on. And
with no audience.
No, she had her staff in her audience.
Right.
She had her staff in her audience.
They could easily have it.
Yeah, you know. So that's my point. Like, how can you, I know you can wash your hands and try to avoid as much as you can, but there's really only so much we really can do, not unless we just bury ourselves in our homes.
This is so true.
Yeah.
Well, some people are doing that, and I'll tell you.
You're kidding.
Like, for example, my friend that came back from Italy, you know, just out of respect for other people, now he doesn't have a temperature and he's not sick, but what he's doing is he's not, what is it called? A self isolating.
Okay.
So when you don't have the disease, you go into self isolation. When you have been diagnosed with the disease, you're on self quarantine.
Okay.
Okay. So that's kind of the difference. Sometimes people put themselves in self-isolation because they've been in a concentrated area that's, you know, the disease is kind of running crazy. So that's what's going on with that. And frankly, that's one of the main reasons why I canceled my trip to London.
Yeah, and I was going to meet you. I was so looking forward to it.
I know, me too.
I was so looking forward to it. And I was scheduled to be in Italy this summer, and we just went on and canceled because I just don't know how long this is going to go on. It's just really a sad time.
Mm-hmm.
And the weather here in Washington has just been so beautiful, and people were so excited to get out because the other day we had 70 degree weather, and then we had 60 degree weather. But like, if you can't really hug and hang out with your people, you know, oh my God, did I tell you, you know, every Monday I take my uncle Tally, my 98 year uncle, to hear the blues.
I don't know if you told me that or not.
To hear the blues over at the church in Southwest Washington.
Wait, we got to tell people why I just said that.
Yeah, because that's what Uncle Tally always says. Well, I don't know if she's pretty or not.
You say, hey, Uncle Tally, I think she's really pretty.
I don't know if I paid the bill or not. Like, you know, that's just, and that's something I kind of picked that up from him. But we were there, and it was crazy. I'm like, oh my God, I hope my uncle's not like losing it in his old age, because he called me like last weekend. He was like, Darnell. He says, that's how he says my name, Darnell. Mm-hmm. And I say, Uncle T, what's up? He said, well, do you think we should probably postpone going to hear the blues on Monday due to the coronavirus? Because they said you need to avoid large crowds.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really do not like going, but I go because he enjoys it. He's 98. I mean, I'm trying to do my part.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I don't think we should. I really think we should just go to dinner and maybe.
And definitely.
And not go. So on Monday, I get in the car. So mind you, I made a reservation at Woodmont Grill, one of my favorite places in Bethesda. And I was anxious to go get my little steak salad. And so we're en route to go to Woodmont Grill. And he looks at me. He says, where are you going? I said, we're getting ready to go to dinner. He says, well, we can just eat dinner at the church. Well, that's where they have the blues. I said, are we going? I said, I thought you said we don't have to go hear the blues. I thought you said because of the coronavirus. He said, oh, nobody down there. They don't have no coronavirus. Let's go down and hear the blues. So I was just like, oh, my. I said, well, Uncle Tyler, you see. He said, well, I don't know if I said that or not. But he said, but right now, I want to go hear the blues. But you know what? I'm going to have to cancel that because.
You took him over there.
I did take him Monday, mm-hmm. but we go every Monday. Mm-hmm. But it's filled with old seniors.
Yeah.
And actually, when I was there, this one particular time, I don't know why, but people were coughing, and I sat through it, and it kind of smelled like, have you ever been to a nursing home?
Something yeah.
So, you know, they have a particular kind of smell. And so I had to endure it this past Monday, but I think that what I will do, because they said it's very prominent amongst older seniors.
And it wipes them out. One of the highest concentrations of the disease was in, I believe it was in Seattle, Washington. Of course, my sister Holly is my fact checker. She's always like, you said the wrong name. I'm like, Holly, the only musical artist I know is Patti LaBelle and Luther Vandross. So when I was talking about like Diddy and, it's supposed to be in Alexia. It was supposed to be Diddy and Mace, right?
Nas.
Is it Nas?
Yes.
No, I said the wrong one.
Okay.
Whatever it is. Somebody look it up. But my sister was like, Paul, like, you said the wrong name. I said, Holly, everybody knows. All I know is Freddie Jackson, Stephanie Mills, Regina Bell, Patti LaBelle,
oh my Luther Vandross. God, do you know that's what, I guess that's why we get along so well, because guess what?
What?
I don't really know celebrities by their name. I mean, I know like Oprah.
Yeah.
I know like certain celebrities, but it's very hard for me. Well, somebody might say, oh, like I know Jessica Simpson, but some for example, somebody might say something like, oh, you know, Jessica Simpson, you remember Jessica? And I'm like thinking to myself, I'm just not good at remembering names.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had that same
thing. Well, when I it comes down to like musicians, the younger well, shit, they're probably all 50. But, you know.
I don't either.
Some of those people. I know the ones I grew up with.
Yeah, I some of them I don't know by name.
Okay.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's something we have in common.
I wanted to ask you about this. Did you ever watch The Real?
Yes.
So Adrienne Bailon, she goes by Halton now. She was she's one of the co-hosts on The Real. Now, you know how these clips sometimes don't age well. So in the whole hysterics of the coronavirus, everyone's pretty much on pins and needles. There is an old clip that resurfaced of Adrienne saying that when she's at home and she goes to the bathroom, whether it's number one or two, she does not wash her hands. She's like, I'm in my house. Why should I wash my hands in my own house?
After she wipes herself?
Yeah. So they says, well, when your hand touches your, private, you know, your bum bum or whatever, she's like, my hand doesn't touch it. The tissue does.
Oh, wow. Maybe it's a culture thing.
I just think that's really weird. Can I tell you something? When I get up in the middle of the night just to pee-pee, I'm trying to say it all delicately, to pee-pee, to number one.
To piss.
Oh, come on.
To shh.
Okay. Stop it. Stop it. Don't eat it. Back up.
To shh.
Would you just please? No, when I just had to get up and use the bathroom really quick, I flush the toilet and wash my hands.
Yeah, that was so baffling to me, because when people are saying now, like, really just wash your hands, I'm like, wow, do people really not wash their hands? That's just, I can just always hear my Nana, Grandma mm-hmm. Perkins, or my dad say, even when I came out the bathroom and they didn't hear any water running, they would say something, did you wash your hands? So it's almost became like a habit. Like, you know, it's just something that you do. I don't care if you, even when you just use the bathroom or if you've been cleaning, I do a lot of cooking. And after I touch the chicken, clean the chicken, whatever, go wash your hands. After you pretty much cut the cabbage, go whatever. Because it's just something about, I don't know. I think it's just something that we were just taught to do. So now the new thing is, you know, every sign you hear, every publication you see or whatever, it's saying wash your hands. And I'm just like, wow, that's crazy, because I really thought that's just what people did. Mm. Did you think that too?
I thought that they did too, except when I'm out and about and I go into the men's room and I'm shocked to see sometimes, like, first of all, I'm always trying to get out of there before someone comes out of the stall, because I don't really, you have to catch me in an extreme emergency if I have to use the
public restroom
on that level.
Okay.
Like in the stall.
Yeah.
I don't do all that. But sometimes I'll hear somebody in the stall getting themselves completely together. And I'll be trying to rush out of there because I don't want to, like, I'm like, you deserve your privacy and I don't want to know who you are because I heard what was going on and I'm very concerned for you. Would you stop? What is wrong with you?
What? Stuff happened like that. I didn't make that up.
Darnell.
I didn't make that up. You said it was in the stall. Sweetie, I was with you all last night, darling.
Listen.
Oh, my God. We had such a good night.
We did have fun. But hold on, because you're all over
the place. I was drinking tequila, but go ahead.
Yes. This is okay. That makes sense.
Okay,
the final piece of the puzzle.
I was drinking tequila.
It's still in there. It's still in there. So I'm in there. I'm at the sink. The crazy thing is I'm rushing to get out of there. All of a sudden, latch comes off. Guy walks right past me. He's out the door. And I'm like, no, people, no. I can't believe you just walked out of that stall and left without washing your hands. But people are doing that.
Well, as long as he didn't have on the chef jacket, then it wouldn't have been. He didn't have on the chef jacket or one of the servers.
That's why I have so many paranoias.
Or one of the servers. But yeah, I really, really, really thought that that's just what people did. I thought people washed their hands. But that's the new thing. People, you know, they're advertising it all over billboards and everything. Wash your hands, people.
They really are.
Dirty, dirty people.
So some sad news. Did you ever remember this former girlfriend that had three children with Floyd Mayweather?
No.
Josie Harris?
No.
Okay, so she was just found dead at her home in Valencia, California, just last night. So law enforcement officers are saying, officials are saying, they were called to the home around 9:30 p.m., and when they arrived, they found 40-year-old Harris unresponsive in her car. She was pronounced dead at the scene, and they also said that there does not appear to be any foul play and the case is being treated as a death investigation as opposed to a homicide probe, which maybe means suicide, but I'm not exactly sure about that. But this woman, you know, I don't know if you remember back in 2010, Floyd was convicted of attacking her in a domestic violence incident. And later he served 2 months behind bars over this. And she's actually the mother of 3 of his kids.
Wow.
I really know what's... What do you think about that?
That's terrible.
Isn't that awful?
That is terrible. And he's a boxer, too. Oh, my God. I didn't hear anything about that.
Yeah, it just happened last night.
Are the kids young kids?
I don't know how old the kids are. I don't know if they're young or not.
I don't know if they're young or not. I mean, are they teenagers? Are they babies? Are they 5, 6, 7?
No, I don't think that they're 5.
Sweetie, can someone look that up? I want to know how the children are.
You know what? You have no facts on anything. Just shoot.
How old? Does anyone know how old her children are?
We will figure that part out.
Because that is terrible if they're really little kids.
I just wanted to say that I'm very, very sorry to hear that that woman lost her life.
And 40 is so young.
40 years old.
40 is really, 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 really young. That's another thing. I've been on social media. I'm always on social media when I'm on it. But I find myself constantly writing rest in peace or my condolences.
There's a lot of that going on.
So I think we're at that age where people are just...
I'm seeing a lot of suicide, too, which...
Oh, my God. Did you hear about the little kid that was in the fourth... He was 12 years old that killed himself. I think that happened here in Washington. How do you, what kind of pressure do you have on you that I hear that bullying thing is really terrible, but what at 12 years old, yeah. Like how do you even, God, that's such a beautiful, young, exciting time.
Well, I think that it's important for kids to know because we talk a lot about this in the LGBTQ community. It's really important for our young kids to know that it does get better. I remember when I did the Housewives of DC show back in 2009, it aired in 2010, and Facebook actually got with the cast and I, and we made these It Gets Better promos for Facebook.
Okay.
And I really do believe in it, and I told some of my stories, and some of my stories were when I was young, just sad, just kind of like, oh, school sucks. Oh, the kids are mean. You know, not just kind of when it's over a sustained period of time.
Yeah.
Even though it's not something like big, like no one like threw a milkshake at my head or something, you know, something that completely humiliated me. But it was just a sustained period of sadness.
Yeah.
And it really weighs on a young person because you haven't lived long enough to have enough life experiences where you know it's going to get better.
It's going to get better. And then you kind of realize, you're like, oh my God, I am not the ugly one. Like, it's the one that was really not that cute, would always basically make you feel like you were just ugly. And then you get older and you look at them. Like, I run into a lot of people that I went to high school with and elementary school with that really, at that time, they were like, oh my God, these people, you know, I guess they felt like they were just so fabulous and so great. And I look at, and you know, we both, you know, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I am really a fabulous person. I live a fabulous life.
I really do.
I'm not just saying it. I really, really do. And I run into these people. And sometimes when I run into them, and maybe at Walmart or CVS or something, or Giant, Whole Foods, whatever. And I see these people and I'm just like, oh, wow, you're the person that actually treated me like S-H-I-T when we were growing up. And I'm looking at them and they look like hell.
Yeah.
And so, it, like you said, it does get better.
Yeah.
It really gets better.
From my perspective, I'm not saying it gets better because somebody else gets worse. I'm not saying because karma took them down.
I'm not even saying it like that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how I'm saying it. A lot of times, you know when we just said hurt people?
Yeah.
A lot of times the bully is the person that's really suffering on the inside. So it's not just physical.
Yes.
But they're going to always, you know, that's why it's very important as adults and if you are parenting or whoever you're parenting to really, really teach self-love and teach, you know, make sure they know you're great, you're fabulous, you're talented. Critique whatever they're really, 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 really good at. And So when the bully comes to try to bully you, you look at them and you basically pull out their flaws, because a lot of times people are scared of bullies. And so when people are bullying you, you have to really be, I don't care if you're 5 or 6 yeah. or 7 or 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, you have to be very, very sure of yourself.
Absolutely.
So that's really what I'm saying. So not saying that, you know, you're praying that someone, you know, their life gets terrible or they're not doing well, but you run into these people years and years later and you're just like, oh wow, you're not all of what people really thought yeah. you were. And so, and I'm not going to lie, I'm going to really be honest with you. I switch my, you know, sometimes I swing my hair, like I have really long hair. Yeah. I just swing my head.
Yes.
And so when I see these people, like, oh my God, Darnell, and I kind of look at them and I swing my hair.
Yeah.
And then I look at them and I would give them a oh hi. And then if I'm really feeling cute that day, you know yes. what I hit them with?
What do you hit them
with? Oh my God, I hardly recognized you, darling. You've picked up so much weight.
Like somebody's grandmother.
Yeah, you have to get these people back. These bullies are horrible
well,
people.
I want to go back to what you just said. You know, this tequila really got you.
These bullies are horrible people. You got to get people back.
This tequila
back.
Is lingering in your system. I'm sure of it. But, you know, I do want to go back to what you were saying about kind of knowing who you are. Because
yes.
that's so important. Because when you know who you are, people can call you names and they can talk about you behind your back. They can have all sorts of opinions. But when you know who you are and when you know where you want to go and hopefully where you're going, that stuff is an annoyance because it becomes very real to you how mean people are.
Yes.
But you know that's not who you are.
Yes.
And I'm going to just mention this. So we talked a lot about the whole Gayle King thing when Snoop Dogg came out and he since apologized. But Oprah Winfrey, for her final stop of her 2020 Vision, Your Life in Focus tour, she was in Denver and she talked with her best friend. And Gayle had this to say. She said she's moved on. And she said, well, is there a scab? She says, yes, but I've moved on. I put on my game face and my big girl pants because I never lost sight of who I was, what I believe I am, and my intention. I've never lost sight of that, but it certainly was a learning curve and it was very painful. So see, things can happen to you in your life.
Yeah.
Brought on by other people. In yeah. that particular case, it was, you know, Snoop coming at her, whether he was right or he was wrong or whatever. I mean, we all can agree that he said it in a very wrong way.
Yeah.
But because she know not now, of course that was painful for her, and of course she cried, and of course she had to go into recluse, and people were attacking her, and that's very scary. But when you know who you are,
yeah,
it's a different kind of trauma. Because it's like, okay, I hear you. Yes, the world is on my back. Yes, someone has said these terrible things about me. But you haven't been exposed. You've been attacked.
Yes.
And there's a difference there.
There's a big difference there. And again, we all are human. So I'm not going to say, and yes, I'm very sure I know exactly who I am.
Yes.
And I know exactly what I'm bringing to the table. Mm-hmm. But can someone hurt my feelings? Of course someone can hurt my feelings.
Yes.
There's one thing to be hurt. There's one thing to fall.
Yes.
There's one thing to have a situation. And that's life. But there are either one or two people. You're either going to dwell on your bitterness. You're going to, you know, you're going to constantly be like, oh my God, you know, he called me an ugly face this and da, 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 da. You get a couple days of that, but then you have to snap out of it. Mm-hmm. That's my thing. We're going to get hurt. People are going to hurt your feelings. People are not nice. I keep telling you people that. People are not nice, and they're going to do things to try to just bring you down and tear you down mentally, because that's what the pimp does to the prostitute. They get into your brain. And if ever seen a really pretty girl and she's with like this man who's very abusive and
yeah.
he's not really good looking, he's overweight and he's horrible, and you're thinking to yourself, how in the hell
yeah.
did this happen? People get into your psyche. people get into your brain. They start there to try to tear you down, and they try and they try to bring you down. So I encourage, and we are encouraging you, anyone that has nieces and nephews, or if you have someone that, you know, they're looking up to you and they're of a certain age, let's say 5, 6, because you really have to start it very, very early.
Yeah.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then those really crazy years when you're 15, 16, 17.
Sure.
You have to hug them and kiss them and be like, you are so fabulous. You what are you doing now? Are you still sewing? Are you still singing? Are you still writing? Oh my God, I need you to figure out these numbers for me because you've always been so good at math. There's a way to actually encourage people, I believe, because I don't expect everyone to love me, but the people that do love me, oh, I want them to love the hell out of me.
Absolutely.
How about that?
And you celebrate like that? You. I do.
You like that? Why you pull your fists up down and we don't, now he's in here giving me the elbows and the fists.
You too.
Sweetie, I wash my hands, honey.
You are too kind to strangers, and I'll leave it at that. I will leave it just at that. But you know, it's always a great time to celebrate, and I love to celebrate with my favorite sparkling beverage, and it is called Seppi. You can check it out at drinkseppi.com. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the founder. We have a feature on Paul Wharton Style called In the Vineyard with Kelsey Phelps. So Kelsey Phelps grew up in the California wine industry as the granddaughter of Napa Valley wine pioneer Joseph Phelps. She learned at the dinner table, in the vineyards, and by watching her grandfather build an iconic business. Like her grandfather, Kelsey is an entrepreneur at heart. She practiced law in Silicon Valley before following her dream to join her family in the wine industry. Kelsey opted to start her own company, Seppi Craft Sparkling Wines, so that she could focus on creating wines that directly reflect her taste and personality. Kelsey resides right here in Washington, D.C., which is where we met, where I first went to a tasting for Seppi, and I've loved it ever since. So I'd love for people to check out that feature on paulwhartonstyle.com. And if you're interested in sampling some of that fabulous sparkling wine, you can check that out at drinkseppi.com.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Speaking of celebrations, have you been working on my birthday party?
Let's talk about this birthday party.
Sweetie, darling, people have to say, and everyone out there, you all are all invited. We do know it's going to be Friday, June the 5th.
Okay. Now, you were asking me, it is the beginning of March.
Let me tell you something.
April,
Do you know people have been sending me invitations for June and May? I'm sure you've been getting invitations. People's schedules get really, really booked. And venues get really, really, really booked. Darling, have you picked a place yet?
Well, we've talked about it.
Oh, wow. We really have to have a little conversation after we get off of there, darling.
Yes.
Am I going to have to plan my own party, Paul?
No, sweetie. I don't mind helping you.
And No, darling. We need it to be absolutely fabulous.
Why can't I plan the dinner of the small group?
We've already talked about that. Wow. Okay. You are really... You were having your little cocktails last night, too. Oh, my God. So we went to this place called the Ricks...
The
Ricks Bar?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
The Ricks Hotel.
Two drinks for $42.
Interesting, huh? Now, listen. Let's talk about this
No, no. He doesn't mind that.
No,
Because I don't go places where you buy two drinks for $40.
Let me tell you why I minded that. Because it was too hot in there.
It was very hot.
It was too hot, and I told them... Listen, we were the only two people in full suits. I had on a 3-piece suit and you had on a full suit and we were like, you had on a fur. I mean, we were glammed up, you guys. So this place is a new, really hot spot and it's designed beautifully. Jacques, a friend of mine, designed the place. He's fantastic. The place is beautiful. It's a Riggs Hotel, and downstairs they have a phenomenal cocktail lounge called Silver Lion. But you go down and, you know, we sat down. It was very chic. But as soon as we walked in, the heat, like, did you see how big my hair got last night?
It was burning up in there. Hot, 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 hot.
It was absolutely burning up. Beautiful place, but it was burning. And let me just give a tip to different people in hospitality.
Yeah.
When the place is burning up, and the client says, hey, it's a little hot in here. And they say, yes, I know. We're trying. Engineering's working on it. And the staff is sweating and everybody's sweating. If I sit down and I've come into your establishment dressed to the nines in a 3-piece suit and I sweat through my suit, because your place is so hot.
Yeah.
And you give me a check for two of the smallest little tequila drinks that I've ever seen in my life. Did you see how I had to nurse that drink?
Yes.
I had to nurse that drink because I'm like, well, you know, we had a drink at the game and we had a drink at the gala.
Yeah.
So I really didn't want to drink too much more. But I was nursing that drink. I was shocked when they brought me that check for $42.
Yeah.
For your drink was on the rocks. It was just a little tequila on the rocks.
Because I don't mix my cocktails.
And mine was a gimlet up in the smallest little coupe. Like, it was tiny as heck.
Yeah.
We sweated through our shirts, and I got a check for $42 for two drinks.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable. But, you know, I sent a message to my friend who designed the place.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. So some people don't mind, and I don't know if it's because, I don't know why I just have these thoughts, but some people really go out and they don't really look at, like, the price of, and I don't look at the price in the beginning, but sometimes I am a little shocked what people are charging for a cocktail. And, you know, like the W does the same thing. Their cocktails are pretty high. There are quite a few places. And I guess I get it. You want to pay for the ambiance or whatever. But, you know, when I'm out, my limit for a cocktail is $14. Okay, let's say $15. But $20, that's highway robbery. That's too much.
Well, I'm going to tell you, the way I feel about it is I think of it as a total experience. Now, I'm not going to get Taiwan on at a place like that. Not when I'm paying.
No.
I will go for a couple of cocktails.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay with going out and treating somebody else, and we both have two, and with the tip, I spend $100. That's okay for me. If it's a full experience, that means we're in a beautiful place.
Yeah.
We get to have a lovely conversation. We're surrounded by beauty and comfort.
Yeah.
It's the right temperature.
Yeah.
You know, we're adding to the atmosphere. We get great service, and I'll pay for that service.
Yeah.
You have me sweating through my suit. That's a problem. So anyway, wasn't feeling y'all that night, but I'm sure it's going to get a little bit better. I still think it's a fabulous place to visit in D.C.
Yeah, I think it's a cute place. I'll just go when you're paying. But you have more money than I have. I don't spend that kind of money on cocktails. Not when I have a full bar. And unlimited bottles of champagne at home. And
you really do. Okay,
And you know, I'd rather be in my pajamas or drawers, laying on the couch, drinking champagne anyway. But I do enjoy the nights that we're out. Oh my God, the game was so cute. We had floor seats, which was really, really lovely.
Yeah, you like that,
and,
huh?
And we were drinking out tequila. I'm on a tequila thing because for my little weight loss thing. Yeah, so I'm good. So hopefully by June, I look really, really, really
slim. Really spelt. And I just want to say this. We've been talking a lot off the air about home buying. Because we're always looking at homes,
yes.
And you talked about having your bar at home. There's a new feature on Paul Wharton Style called Myths about Home Buying, and I think it's very helpful. It talks about your down payment, your credit, and all these other things, and we've reached out to all of our friends in the real estate business, so check that out as well. Listen, thank you for your support. Be sure to follow us on social at The Darnell,
yes,
and at Paul Wharton Style. We are here every Friday at 6, Saturday at 5, and Wednesday at 6 on Sirius XM Channel 141. We'll see you next week. Bye, guys.
Bye, bye, darlings. Enjoy.
Paul's here, pulling it all together. He's there for you if you need to feel better. Paul's here, pulling it all together.